Well, I'd like to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. You know, it was after we came to North Carolina that we realized that both Laura's family and my family's heritage stemmed a lot from North Carolina. On her family tree, she has 480 people that were born in North Carolina. Between the two of us, we probably have about 20 great-grandfathers who fought in the Revolutionary War in North Carolina. So when you see that First in Freedom in North Carolina, this family was there. And it was, we have signers of the Declaration of Independence in our family. We have presidents in our family, because both families go back that far. And all of the basis for our family were coming here for religious reasons. That's why they came to this country. And that's why they fought for freedom. They were godly men fighting for what was right in God's eyes. God's principles were the basis for the founding of this country. I think it's the first country that was ever founded purely on that. So anyway, I'd like to again say happy 4th. Now, today, my message is going to focus on prayer. Now, recently, we have the tragedy in Florida where the building collapsed and there's going to be hundreds of people dead. Locally, Judy told us of a family whose house burnt down. Parents and kids had nowhere to go because of that. All these people in Florida now, their lives are turned upside down. You know, this is a scene we have seen far too often in our recent memory. There's a horrible tragedy that takes place. People are hurt, even killed. Property is damaged or lost. Regardless of the issue, the statements that in response to this are usually quite similar. Whether it's a politician, other people, whether it's people of influence, or just regular people, time and again, I'm going to say that you will hear something that goes a lot like this. Our hearts break for those affected, and our thoughts and prayers will be with them as they deal with this loss. Now, on the surface, these types of statements are really sincere and heartfelt. In fact, they're doing exactly what we heard read this morning in the text from James. Pray. That's what it tells us to do. But you know what? There's a large segment of our society who looks at this almost with disgust. You think about it. I'm going to tell you right now that what really, really goes on with a lot of people is they reject that. They end up saying things to their friends and around them. You don't hear it a lot on TV because it would be fought pretty hard. But your thoughts and prayers are worthless. You might as well do nothing. They do not matter. So my question today is, are they right? Do our thoughts and prayers not matter in the grand scheme of things? Do they do any good? Do our thoughts and prayers do any good? You know, a preacher recently posted a few thoughts about this question on Facebook. And I read those words and they just kind of struck me, what he said. With all the evil and hurt in this world, we might begin to believe that maybe our prayers are really not doing any good. We look around and it's just things seem like they've gone downhill and continuing to go downhill. Are our prayers doing any good? Well, I want to tell you a few things that he said in this post. He gave a laundry list of things accomplished through prayer. And I'd like to give you some examples that prayer does matter and how we can know that it is a fact that prayers matter. Then I'd like to build on some thoughts and making additional observations on whether or not our thoughts and prayers actually matter. I know they work. Do they matter? So, they matter because amazing things were accomplished by prayer of righteous people. Because the prayers of different people, you look back and see that people's lives were spared. In Genesis, Abraham prayed for Lot and his family to be saved. Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed. It was Abraham's prayer that allowed Lot and his family, except for his wife, to escape. Nations were spared. God was at his wit's end with the obstinate and rebellious Jewish people. He was just about to wipe them out. And what happened? Moses prayed. Moses prayed for them not to be destroyed. And you know what? God spared them and allowed them to continue. It's a good thing. Battles were won. In 2 Chronicles 13 and 14, we find twice where prayers were the main influence in battle. Abijah overcame Jeroboam, and Asa and Judah were able to defeat Zerah and the Ethiopians through prayer. They didn't have the forces to do it. It was God's help because of their prayer. Something that was read this morning by Tony. Weather changed. Elijah prayed for the rain to stop. And it was 3.5 years later when he prayed that the rains come back, that the rains came and the world blossomed again. Prayer stopped the rain. That's a fact. You know what? Women became pregnant. Now, we all know about Sarah and Abraham, but here's a couple more. Do you remember when Rebecca, Isaac's wife, wanted to have a child and Isaac prayed? And what happened? They had a son. Another instance is when Hannah, being heartbroken and pleading with God that she would become pregnant. And she did. People were created because of prayer. Now, these are some big things that prayer does. Something else, the hearts of rulers were changed. And this one I think you're familiar with. And that's in Nehemiah, where almost the first chapter of Nehemiah was spent praying for God to be able to allow him to go back and build the temple. But in order for him to do that, he had to change the mind of the king who stopped the building of the temple of Jerusalem. Well, how did he do it? Through prayer. Prayer changed the mind of that ruler and allowed Jerusalem to be rebuilt. You know, now just because we see things taking place doesn't mean that our prayers work in the same way. You know, it doesn't mean that all we have to do is wave a magic wand and things happen and things change. But you know what? It also doesn't mean every prayer is answered in the same way. I want you to realize, and we talked about this morning, we were talking about numbers. We talked about the number 3 and what it meant. Paul prayed 3 times that his thorn in his side be removed. His prayer was answered by not having the thorn in his side removed. And he came to the point that he gave thanks for that. I'm going to tell you, sometimes the best answer is not what we pray for, but for what God gives to us. In that case, Paul received what he needed from God, and it made him even more successful. Something else, if you'll remember, Jesus himself prayed that he might be spared from the horrible things he was about to suffer from the hands of the Jewish people and the Romans. But we know that he still suffered at the hands of godless men. Mark 14:36, and we're studying Mark in our class. Jesus said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Again, his prayer was for relief, but the biggest part of it was that God's will be done. We need to remember that. Now, prayers matter because our prayers show our faith in God. When you stop and think about it, throughout the Bible, we see that the most faithful men and women often, almost always, go to God, particularly in times where there's a great need. They go to God in prayer for help. Think again of the circumstances of the people we looked at. Lives were hanging in the balance. Evil men had been put in place. Women were desperate for kids. God's holy city was in ruin. People saw and felt these issues, and they knew exactly what to do. They went to God in prayer. That was the important thing. Turning to God, these people exemplified a mindset that we all ought to have. This is it. My God is greater and more powerful than any problem this life can throw at me. Have you ever thought about that? We get down sometimes. We really struggle. We really, whether it's pain, whether it's circumstances, whatever. But no matter what happens, our God is more powerful than that. He's told us he will never give us anything we can't handle. We need to remember that. Now, this mindset isn't normal for the world. Instead, we see others continually turning to other sources in times of crisis or need. You hear them say, "Your prayers are empty and worthless." Now, I want to tell you something. Did you know in 1946 how many people in this country believed in God and went to church? Just a percentage-wise, 76%. They just had a poll recently. Do you know what the percentage is now? You don't want to know. but it's 47%. 30% of the people on average, now that I realize less people then, more people now, but that means even more people are unbelievers than were then. It's a challenge because they're going exactly opposite of the way that we're thinking and the way we're doing. So, why do you think all these tragedies happen? You think this just happenstance, accidental? Well, why did things happen to the Jewish people? Bad things happened to them back then. It's when they fell out of fellowship with God. So who causes this stuff? Man. And the way man thinks, and the way man acts, and the way man rejects God. That's why this stuff happens. You know, they hate their fellow man because they do evil things. Things occur because men are sick and selfish of sin. But instead of turning to God, who will make all things well, they turn to men, who only think of themselves and power. These people need to literally get their heads out of the sand and go back to God. If we had that same 76% of people who believed in God and went to church today, this nation would be a lot better shape than it is. Just from having more believers in God, just alone. We need to think about that. What do you think the psalmist meant when he said, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put trust in man"? It's better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in princes. That's where safety is. It's in God. It's with the Lord. Those who trust in men only find themselves being let down. Our faith and trust must be in God. And that faith and trust will show when we offer prayers to God. He alone is our refuge and our strength when we're in trouble. Now, another part of this prayer is that our prayers matter, but they need to be accompanied by actions when we have the opportunity. The center of this issue may seem to lie in the fact that we see a lot of talking and not a lot of doing from those offering up those prayers. You see him say, "Keep them in your prayers," and it usually stops right there. So it cannot be denied that some, even many, see a tragedy and they really do think their job is done simply by offering prayers. We know better than that. We know how important prayers are. We recognize from such places as James 2, where our Lord expects us to be a people who trust in him. He also expects us to be a people of action. Remember when James asked, "What good is it to see a brother in need?" and we simply offer him thought and prayer for him to be filled up? James said this type of approach is worthless, and that we ought to be a people who are willing to be the instrument of change for those in need. We do a lot, but I guarantee you, we can do more. Prayer is good, but it sometimes takes some actions. Notice it in that opening text we read, that James says this guy isn't just prays for sinners that does a great work, But he who prays and actually seeks to return the sinner covers a multitude of sin. So the important part of our prayer is not just going to God, but then taking the opportunity to put that action, that prayer, into effect when we can. Now, I know none of us probably can go down to Florida and help that type of thing. But we can step up and help the family that Judy was talking about. And we have. I know we have. That's the type of thing we can do. I want to tell you a quick little story. And this is about Laura. And I think it was 1987 when we had the accident where the car rolled over on top of her and she was crushed and stuff. I don't know if I've ever told you this, but you know what happened a week before this accident? I fell 14 foot off a building while working. I crushed my heel and I broke my wrist. You know where I was? I was right next to her in that car. You know why? Because I was out of work because I had two casts on me. Now this happened. We were on our way to take something to my boy's school, right? I couldn't work. That means my income was gone. Laura was crushed. She couldn't. So we got two people and two kids and no jobs. One of the things that came out of this was, I don't know about you, but as early Christians, my prayer life wasn't as good as it could have been, because this message is about prayer, right? And doing things. During that time, we probably prayed 15 times a day. I'm not kidding you. I'd be doing something and Laura would be over there in pain. She left the hospital 10 days, I think, or 7 to 10 days after she was hurt, right? She said, I can feel like this in the hospital. They're not doing anything for me. So she could not do anything for herself. Literally, nothing for herself. We've had a recliner that she spent a great deal of time in because it was the only thing comfortable. And I'd be doing something and I'd hear Laura say, can you pray? I mean, she had no lung on this side at the time. Can you pray? And I'd come over and we'd pray together. And I told you, we ended up getting to where we prayed a ton. Well, we have kept that habit since then. Our church was praying for us, okay? I was out of work, remember? I was in the plumbers union. You know what showed up at our house? This beautiful bouquet of flowers from the plumbers and pipe fitters in San Diego. Now, prior to this, we'd worked down in Imperial Valley, and I was on a night shift, and Laura and we were living in trailers and stuff on job site, and Laura and some of the other gals used to bring dinner to us on Tuesday night. They'd get together and all fix something and they'd put it up in the parking lot. It was night shift. And we'd go out there and we'd have a great dinner. The people in my union knew her as well as me. They sent a card. It was a nice big card. It was signed on the front. It was signed inside. It was signed in the back. There were probably close to 100 people who signed that. And an envelope of probably close to $1,000. This was 1987. That was a lot of money. That's the type of thing, and I knew that these guys were praying for me because they told me. But they stepped up and they knew that there was a need. We got a lot of help from our people in the church too. So we weren't in this. She could do nothing by herself. I was her only help. No, that's not true. We had lots of help. We had help from prayers and people who put prayer into action. So just what are we doing to offer up thoughts and prayers for people? We can be people who are letting our light shine. I'm telling you right now. Our Christ-like character can go a long way in showing people the better way of Jesus. Life is better with Him as our guide, and people will see that if we simply let our light shine. And we all know that verse, but I'm going to read it anyway. In Matthew 5:13 through 16, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its flavor. How shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light for all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we can show our Christianity. We can show that we love God. Secondly, we can raise our kids to be better than what we see out there of the people in the world. You stop and look about it and think about it. Most of the people out there, I don't want my kids to be like them. I want my kids to be good, sound Christian men. Our children are the present and the future of our society. Remember, 47%? Down from 76%? How that happened? It happens in the home. It really does. Families are not what they used to be because God is not the center of 70% of the households in this country. We need to be that example. Our kids need to be that example. Something else we can do is remember the golden rule. We can truly consider how we would want others to treat us and then allow that to be the determination of how we treat others. You know, we want to be loved, and if we loved back, there wouldn't be so much hatred and discontent in this world. Have you ever had somebody that you just, they just didn't like you for some reason? I don't know what it is. But you really wanted them to like you. So you were really nice to them. You treated them well. And they end up becoming one of your best friends. And they said, you know, the first time I saw you, I just got the wrong impression and I couldn't stand you. And now you're best friends. It's because of the way you treat them, they'll end up treating you. You know, none of this is to say that these things should be done to the neglect of our prayers to God. On the contrary, these things ought to go hand in hand with prayer. We ought to be praying to God would help us accomplish these things in our lives, and He can and will help that to be the case if we trust and work with Him as our foundation. You know, some of the prayers we talked about and the people went to God in prayers, they were amazing things. But you know what? If we can just affect one person's life, you stop and think about it. That's an amazing thing. There was some time in your life where somebody stepped up at a point in your life that helped you, that helped make you the person you are today. It's important. You know, the sad reality is that we live in a really toxic environment. In many ways, we as godly people want to show our faith and trust in God. And yet we're often mocked or ridiculed for such a thing. But we should not allow the naysayers to gain footing in our minds. And I'm telling you, it can happen. If people go against you long enough and hard enough, it starts to grate on you. That's one good thing about having a church family. Somewhere you can come and get all the uplifting and support that you need. You know, we need only to be fully committed to God as our salvation and our source of strength. May we always show our faith and trust in Him by being people who pray and work without ceasing. I'm thankful for prayer. I'm thankful that it accomplishes the things that it needs. I also know, and hope you are too, that you put trust and faith in prayer. And it started out, does it really work? Oh, I believe it really works. Those who say it doesn't matter, they have no idea how much prayer can do for you and do for others. So now, I'd like to just at this time, we've been talking about prayer, so I'd like to close it with a word of prayer. Will you bow with me? Father, our shield, our rock, our salvation, we come before your throne of might and power with our hearts truly overflowing for the ability to approach you in this way. You are a great God, and we are a people most undeserving. Thank you for loving us and giving this avenue of prayer. May we always, in times of plenty and in times of need, show our faith and our trust in you through constant prayer. May our hearts be strengthened in times of distress by your mighty hand, and may we overcome the evil of this world and to your glory and your praise. We ask that you be with us throughout this coming week and through the rest of our lives. Help us to shine our lights, to love others as ourselves, to help us be the change that we desire. May we lead others to your Son, and it's in your Son's blessed and holy name we pray. Amen. Prayer is the most powerful thing we really have. And so, if you need prayer, now's the time to make that known. If you need help in any way, if you need support, if you need to talk to somebody, please make that known as we stand and sing the song of invitation.